If you got a wife who loves the Lord, you're blessed. You're blessed. Do everything to keep that relationship strong. Don't let anything get in the way of it. And I have to remind myself of that week after week because of just life and trusting and then in the presence of the Lord, worshiping Him and just getting that picture and say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for softening my heart during worship. Thank you for bringing me back to that, Lord, reminding me how wonderful my wife is. I love that. Lord, we thank you for blessing the youth as they go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So that little analogy seem odd? It's scriptural. You know, you think there in the youth are the future of the church, right? And a lot of times people will say there's future, you know, pastors, which is great, and future evangelists, which is great, but there's future Sunday school teachers there. There's future people that take care of stuff administratively. There's future ushers. All of those things are important. We got to have all of us, amen? So somebody there that went through those doors that's going to be an anointed usher is every bit as important as the guy up front behind the pulpit. That's a fact. Don't you believe that? You agree with me? All week, I was just like munching on that message last week. If you were here, wasn't that powerful? That was so. We plan on to like have them like every 6 months. Every 6 months, we want to have them. And if you're ever in the valley and on the weekend and you're not here and you want to go to church still, let us know because you can get their address in Mesa and visit their church. Amen and amen and amen. So let's move on a little bit here. if I have a message today, it's called Don't Wait for a Sign. Don't wait for a sign. And my first scripture is Philippians 4:19. You guys know this scripture. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You guys know that scripture? Isn't that a wonderful scripture? I mean, it's a powerful scripture. But you know, there's a backstory. There's a context for that scripture that is powerful that we want to look at today. Because that is a true statement. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. You know, sometimes you can come in, somebody's telling a story. And somebody else can come in on the tail end of that story and just hear a sentence or two and think something completely different. They think that they all of a sudden have got the whole story and can completely take it out of context. You know, you can come in and somebody saying, oh, you know that Fred, he's just a jerk. But they were kidding because previously to that, they were maybe talking about Fred's kindness and being so kind and so forth. And all of a sudden, somebody kidding said, yeah, no, that Frank, he's just a jerk. But it wasn't even in the context. And so even though that our God does supply all our needs according to His riches and glory, as I begin to take this in context, I said, Lord, how powerful this is on giving. Let me just say this, as I talk about giving today, please don't tune me out because many people have become offended to hear about finances. And I haven't preached about finances here, have I? I really haven't. And we take a tithe and offering up the boxes in the back, so we're not, as Pastor Lee started that way, we didn't want people to feel like there was a cover charge to come to church. The gospel's free, amen? But people giving keeps these lights on that I can see so brightly right now. And there's a benefit in being a giver, regardless of where you are in your walk with the Lord. Matter of fact, as we get going, we'll see that even during the toughest times of your life, being a giver, time, or in your finances can be the most powerful weapon against the enemy. So let me read this. Let's read this. Let's go back to Philippians 4:15 through 18 in the New American Standard Bible. Let's read this together. It says, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone." Wow, didn't Paul start a few churches? Didn't he have a few groups of believers and churches that he had started, amen? And so just stopping briefly, he says, hey, this thing I'm calling giving and receiving, you are the only church to share in it. You alone. Verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account." Wow, did you hear that? Verse 18, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again just for your Spirit speaking what you want to your body this morning, this body. Father, we thank you that this group of believers is a very giving group of believers. And Father, just remind us of your bounty. The world needs, Lord, needs to see your bounty. Father, the world needs to see your bounty. And your bounty comes forth from your people. So Father, we thank you this morning for speaking deeply to the hearts of your people and how we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this first thing, I've got 7 points if I can get through it today. 7 being the perfect number, right? I wanted to have 8 points, but I said, I can't do it. It's only could be 7. Given receiving this principle, the kingdom of God principle, he said, no church shared in this principle but you alone. So something about this church that he had needs and he was starting another work and they were sending him supplies, sending him food, sending him money, everything he needed. They were sending this church over and over again to Paul. So they didn't just do it once and wash their hands of it and said that's enough, but they had this heart of giving where they gave again and again to Paul's ministry, amen? And so they were willing to give. Now, we understand giving, don't you? Sometimes we understand it from the aspect of how the government gives. You know, things that like taxes and so forth. You know, I find it amusing. I just want to stop real quick. I find it amusing how socialist politicians will cry out about social justice. They want to raise taxes or print more money for programs for equality. But when you look into how much they give of their own wealth, it's kind of laughable. It's easy to spend others' money, but when it comes to their own, it's nothing. It's nothing. You know, our government, I just want to mention some things that, if I have it, I thought I had it here, that our government spends on real quick. Because there's a type of giving, it's not foolishness, it's very godly. It's to be taken very seriously. It's between you and the Lord and the Spirit of God. Do you think there's any maybe waste in our government? And I just say these things because what is your theology as a Christian altogether? I just thought it was laughable. It's not laughable, but just some of the things that I had studied and turned up that the government spends money on. Unnecessary printing, $930 million a year. Wow. Unnecessary printing, but just in case. Vacant buildings, $175 million a year just for maintaining vacant buildings. In case we use them someday. They spent on a study that, you ever heard of that video game World of Warcraft? They spent $3 million a year studying that, just to study the game and study those who play it. To what cause? I don't know. They spent $2.6 million towards a European legislator so they could teach them how to be balanced and to follow a budget. How long has England been around? If they can't balance, they can't, and we're going to teach them how to balance a budget? Funny. That's a funny one, United States. We want you to know how to put a P&L together. But if we can't, $2.6 million to do that. A neon light museum in Las Vegas, $1.8 million. A zoo, called it a zoo with poetry, over $1 million. Unused furniture, $862,000 a year. This one I'm just going to say, a study on genital washing. The National Institute of Health was given stimulus funds to study the significance of genital washing programs on South African men. 800,000. Cal methane, $700,000 a year in a study. They wanted to do a study on online dating, $239,100. Some people here can say, hey, you don't need to spend $300,000. I can tell you all about online dating. Flying monkey poop. $168,766 to study. Why do they do that? Why do monkeys throw their feces? And then a study over and over and over again, meaning that money just given frivolously. And a lot of times we can just spend money frivolously. It's our money to spend, amen? What's this thing of giving with God's love? He's very serious about it for you and I because he's a rewarder. I won't talk about it today, but sowing and reaping in the kingdom of God. And so that giving and receiving, sometimes people have seen things on television or evangelists, so it's wrong the way that they manipulate. They manipulate and raise monies, right? So what we happen is we get offended at that, and I see why, and then we just throw the whole thing out. So if anybody talks about giving, they think your motives aren't right. We're going to see here that the way Paul talked about it, you could have said the same thing. Paul, what was your motives? Why were you talking about that? You're talking about giving and then getting back. What are your motives, Paul? And so let me ask you just to check your heart. Please don't be offended when it comes to the subject of money because it's very important. The last couple of weeks as the Lord has spoke to me in my heart and saying, asking me, and the way God will kind of speak to me is I ask myself questions. Chad, are you willing to give me everything, anything that you have? Everything that belongs to you, are you willing to give it to me if I ask for it? Not of a compulsion or religious thing or that he'll love me. But as he's reminded me about sowing and reaping, he's saying, Chad, does everything that you have belong to me? Are you willing to give it to me? And if there's anything I've learned through the years is you cannot outgive God. I'm telling you, if you're offended about a message of sowing and reaping or giving to the Lord, the Lord blessing you back, please, afresh and anew, allow the Lord to speak to your heart. Because of offense of the subject, people have tuned it out. And I think for a great degree, many in the body of Christ have now missed out on the blessings of God as it pertains to giving. As it pertains to giving. So I'd ask that today that you would say, I'm gonna listen to this guy and I'll cut him a little slack. Boy, I'm going to listen and everything he says and I'm going to vet it out in the Word of God. Yes, please do. I'm going to tell you today that I'm not doing this or talking about this because the church is any type of need or under financial burden. It's not. Nothing's changed there. He's blessed us. It simply is not. I'm speaking this today because the Lord has put it on my heart too. He's put it on my heart too. But I want to start out by saying this as I talked about giving and receiving, is understanding the first thing is God was the ultimate giver. For God so loved the world, you know this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So who started this example? Who started this thing about giving? God. He gave his very best to you and I. We can take pride in our righteousness if we want, but it doesn't result in anything as far as a cleansing of the heart. Because somebody had to start it out by giving, and it was God who gave the very best. Unless the seed goes on the ground and dies and brings forth fruit, it doesn't multiply. But God laying down his life, him dying in the ground for 3 days and being raised from the dead, look what he's multiplied into many brethren and sisters. He was the one that gave. He's the one that taught the principle of giving. And look at what God has multiplied back. Many sons and daughters in the Lord. Amen. God was the one who gave that example of giving. His ministry on this earth, constantly giving, healing people, healing people, healing people, giving messages, talking to people about his goodness over and over and over again. God was the ultimate example of what it is to give. Amen. If God, we couldn't receive anything if God hadn't started out by saying, hey, I'm the one that gave. Will you receive of me? So if you, I'm here this morning saying, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, he gave his life for you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. Or if you haven't walked with the Lord in some time, saying that he has, it says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Many things that have happened to people, it cripples them emotionally or cripples them within their mind and it becomes tangled. But I'm telling you, God is still there. His blood, his power, his Holy Spirit can wash and cleanse and make every deed, every stain of sin as white as snow. And it's all because he was the first one to give. Amen? When you accept that forgiveness, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus in your heart and with your lips confess him in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. He'll wash your sins away. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. Who gives you the Holy Spirit? God. Who's the one that made the way for salvation? God. So understanding this thing about giving and receiving was started by God. God was the ultimate giver. God made you and I to be a giver and a receiver. See, God's kingdom operates on a different level and on a different principle than the world. I just talked about give him your heart. He gives you the Holy Spirit. The Sunday comics and money are both printed on paper, aren't they? But one makes people laugh and the other makes people cry. As I mentioned today, don't let my talking about finances offend you, I beg you. And I mentioned that there have been those and still are today will always be those that are manipulators. Amen? But what was the thing about the Philippians? They had an attitude of a heart of giving. Because in verse 16 of Thessalonians 4, it says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." This church in Thessalonica, they weren't a one-time giver. They were perpetual givers to the Lord. They just perpetually gave and gave to the Lord, to Paul's ministry. Something in their heart said, we can trust putting our money, giving in this soil. We know that Paul's going to use it for the right reason. We know that Paul's going to use it for the good of the gospel. So this one thing is they had an attitude of giving. You know, God, because he lives in us, God's attitude is an attitude of giving. So he wants you and I to have an attitude of giving. Finances, helping others in need, whatever ability and gifting God's placed in your life, it's an attitude of giving because you've received already so much. See, he's not asking you to give so that you'll receive something. He's already given to you. So you're just giving out of that, and then you become a conduit where God flows through you with his Spirit, with means, amen, with finances. Can I say it? They had a attitude of giving. So let me go back for you that are taking notes. Number one, giving and receiving, that principle of giving and receiving. Number two, God was the ultimate giver. He set the tone. He set this in motion as he was the ultimate giver. Number three, the Thessalonians, they had an attitude, a heart of giving. Doesn't that sound awesome? You ever had my grandmother was always giving. You ever been around giving people? It just feels good. It just, they're open. They're just always giving of their time, sharing of their heart. If there's a need, they're always there. People like that are a blessing, aren't they? That is our God. He's a giving God. He's not withholding from us. Sometimes because of the way we think about God, we end up being the one that's withholding. Something's got twisted, or something in there where people have become offended, and so they hold back, don't even realize it, not sowing or giving into churches or ministries or helping others because of something that's happened, an offense, much of it taking place on what's our experiences or what we've seen. Number four, don't be a person who waits to be a giver. This is what I hear a lot. It says, when I have enough, I'll give. When I have extra, I'll give. Matthew 12, 39 and 30, 38 and 39, this is the attitude. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Verse 39, but he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves a sign, and so no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet." And I think as far as giving, sometimes we say, hey, I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to wait until I feel comfortable to be a giver. I'm going to wait until I feel like it's appropriate to give. I'm going to wait for a sign. But so much of the time, people don't get that sign. It never happens, so they never become a giver because they're waiting on something and their heart's set. I'm waiting. Show me, Lord. Show me. Bring it in. But the Lord is asking us to be faithful in the little, and he'll make you ruler of much. I said, be faithful in the little, and he'll make you a ruler of much. I'm thinking of a young man I know that lived in California, and Luke Shaw. I'll just say Luke Shaw. He won't care. That's Pastor Lee's son. And just as hard he was telling me, this was some years ago, that it'd be expensive to live in California, right, in the L.A. area. And he'd have money. And he said, Lord, do I eat or do I tithe? This isn't condemnation. I'm just telling you what his heart was. And he didn't wait for show me a sign. He gave. He said, when I did, I couldn't wait to see how God was miraculously going to provide for me. He said he just started telling stories of people bringing him food, inviting him over, helping him out. As he was, just said, Lord, I'm not waiting for a sign. I'm going to give to you. You know, this morning, regardless of what's going on, don't wait for a sign from the Lord. He loves you. Give your heart to him. Don't be like those religious leaders that stood back and said, show us a sign, as he's doing miracles. Be a giver, however God speaks to your heart now. Don't wait. He wants to, we'll get into it, he wants you to be a sower. There's a sowing and a reaping that is in the Word of God. I'll show you, we'll keep going, it's in the Word. I'm not trying to get anything from you. I'm trying to lay out there what the God wants to do in our lives. He wants to challenge us to be givers. He wants to freshen anew. As the Lord started stirring me up and freshen anew, as I've been a pastor here since the beginning of this year, I kind of, you know, still a tither and this and that, but I was always looking for opportunities to give, and I'd kind of gotten off that track. But the Lord is so faithful, he just gently reminded me and said, hey, Chad, is everything that I have, would you give that to me? A reminder. I said, of course I would, Lord. And the next thing in my heart I heard is, be ready. And I said, Lord, I'm ready. I'm eager to listen to your voice, to give whatever you want me to do, however you want me to give, however you put in my heart to give to others, Lord, or to become a tither, a giver, and a body. Lord, I am ready to do that. That's part of Christian philosophy. That's part of growing in Christ. That's part of walking in the light as he is in the light. Amen? Amen. So my heart wasn't like, oh, okay, God, I can do this. It was like, no, of course, the Lord. I've seen you work on my behalf before. I've seen you provide all my needs. I've seen you help me in so many different circumstances, all because I understood the principle of giving and receiving. Of course, everything I have is yours, Lord. He loves a cheerful giver. Then I go back to times where I've given to the Lord. I go back to a time where I given to the Lord and even had a pastor say, are you sure you want to give this? And it almost like my confidence. And then I had to encourage myself from the Lord and say, man, my God will supply all my needs. You cannot outgive God. God will take care of me. I am more than glad to give this because I know those principles out of a heart of my heart of righteousness towards Him and the joy of the Lord in my heart. I'm more than happy to give that, Lord. But just for a second, my confidence was shaken as someone said, are you sure you want to do this? This doesn't make sense. Then I absolutely want to do it. Much of what the Lord, through His heart, He's trying to get us to reach out in faith and to give finances or time. He's trying to show Himself mighty on our behalf. He's trying to say, you know what? You cannot outgive me. I'll show you. You can't outgive me. I'll take care of you. He loves being in the position where we trust Him. He loves where we got to rely on Him. I've learned through the years when I've talked to people, you want to break greed? If you got a me attitude and heart, start giving. And start giving till it hurts. And I'm telling you, that spirit that tries to come upon people of greed will be broken in Jesus' name. It won't be some special prayer by your pastor. It's going to be you deciding, saying, I'm going to give. And if it hurts a little bit or you're saying, I can't do that, give a little bit more. But I'm telling you, God will show up and that greed will be broken over your life as you prove God in these circumstances. Do you still love Him today? Are you offended at me? Good. Don't wait for a person to be a giver. I love this set of scriptures. We're going to read this. Listen, if you don't listen to anything else that's said, listen to this, these scriptures in 1 Kings 17, 10 through 16. So this is about Elijah. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the entrance of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he, that's Elijah, called to her and said, please get me a little water in a cup that I may drink. The water and food at her are at a huge premium at this time. It hadn't rained in years. There's no crops. Verse 11, as she was going to get it, he called her. So she's leaving. Just picture this in your mind. He says, give me a little bit of water. He's probably thinking, I can spare that. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Verse 12. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no food, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks so that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son so that we may eat it and die. No more food. No more provision. We're going to eat this and die. We're at the last straw. Literally, this is it. Let's continue for 13. However, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Say, do not fear. In this day and age, we need to tell ourselves, do not fear. Regardless of shortages that the government brings upon people, we got ships out, and don't get me started, ships out at dock there, just waiting, perpetuating shortages. However, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go do as you have said. But what does he say again? Just make me a little bread loaf from it first and bring it out to me. It'd make me a little, just a little bit. Man, didn't you hear what I just told you, Elijah? Oh, man of God, I just told you that we're going to eat this and die. And you go, I didn't mind bringing you water, but then you say, oh, by the way, bring me a little food. Bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. Verse 14, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. This is God's word for you and I. Listen. Listen to this today. His word is eternal. His word is for the ages. His word that he spoke then through Elijah the prophet as far as giving and receiving is for you and I today. And for this is what the Lord God, the God of Israel, says, the bowl of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil become empty until the day that the Lord provides rain on the face of the earth. 15, so she went and did everything in accordance with the word of Elijah, and she and he, that's Elijah, she and Elijah and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil become empty in accordance with the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. There was a reason there. Elijah said, hey, make me a little cake first. By the way, come back. But we don't have anything. He could have said, I'm sorry, Elijah, but we don't have enough. I would love to help you, but I'm not the person. I'm a widow. Elijah, come on. You're being cruel. Elijah, you're being mean. Lord, this doesn't make sense, Elijah. But she didn't do that. She went and made him a cake, sewed, gave it what she had, gave it to the Lord. And what Elijah says, man, you're going to have enough. During this difficult time, I'm going to provide for you. There was a principle there. Go make me a cake. Give that to the Lord. She gave that to the Lord, and the Lord made sure she had enough. While others around her, I'm sure, were starving, this widow, who could not do anything to add to her supply. People say, well, I'm on retirement, Social Security. I can't give the Lord. There's no way for him to bless me. There was no way for God to bless this widow except through a miraculous miracle. The flour never ran out. The oil never ran out. And God supplied all her needs according to his riches in glory. See, she had to see the principle of giving. She had to see that principle of trusting the Lord. She had to see that, trust me, that principle of sowing and reaping that we're going to talk about. How God made sure. Let me say it again. You cannot outgive God. The world's math is different than God's math. I said the world's math is different than God's math. God will take care of you in the name of Jesus. I said God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Trust him. Be bold and be a giver in the kingdom of God. Don't allow yourself to be resentful or to be bound up from past things, but with the right motive, give to the Lord. He will take care of you. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Amen. This is where people could get tripped up. Number 5, Paul said, my preaching about giving isn't for my benefit. Come on, are you sure about that, Paul? Philippians 4, I think it's 17, actually. And this is what Paul says, is not that I seek the gift itself. Are you sure, Paul? But I seek the profit which increases to your account. Did you hear what Paul just said there? He says, not that I seek this gift for myself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. He's saying, hey, I want to let you know that this giving that you've been doing in my ministry and blessing me and filling my needs, I'm telling you, God's going to more than meet your needs. What he was saying is, he gets back to that scripture, my God shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. You know, there's a proper giving. As I speak this, the Lord knows my heart. My heart, as I say this right now, not that I seek the gift for myself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account, your account, your account, your account, your account, your account, your account. That's why I'm saying this. The Lord knows my heart. I'm reading scriptures. I'm not manipulating that it's all. But the Lord, that as we become givers, the world of the math says, you can't do that, you can't do that. You've got to keep all of that. But in God's kingdom, when he opens up the windows of heaven, as we give, we have the heart that he has, because he's the ultimate giver. And when we have the Spirit of God in us, as we do as believers, and we trust what his word says, then we become givers and we become conduits of more, as God gives us more to give, liberally giving and blessing others. Blessing others. And God watching our bank account. I want him being the head of my bank account, not me. I've tried it. It gives me a stomach ache. And there's never enough. It's never enough with that attitude. But be given a giving heart, God takes that strain. I said, God, I turn it over to you. It belongs to you anyway. God, I'm going to be a giver. Amen. How about you? He says, I seek this to your benefit. Hallelujah. Number 6. And I mentioned this already. Don't allow circumstances to determine whether you are a giver or not. I go back to 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 4, that we'll come back to that at another date. But he says, now, brothers and sisters, we make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. He was talking about gathering money for the church in Jerusalem. Verse 3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily, begging us with much urging for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. Can you see that heart? Where they were in a trial of their lives, in the finances, they said, man, we're barely making it. It's like what I just talked about with Luke, right? They said, please let us give. Please let us participate in this. We want to be a part of this. We want to help those saints. They gave with such great joy. We got to be a part. They gave even beyond what their ability was to the Spirit of the Lord. Paul talking, because he was talking to the Corinthians, and we'll see in the future, he says, hey, Corinthians, this was your ideal, but you ain't gave anything yet. This was your ideal, but you haven't given to the needs of the church in Jerusalem. So he was saying, hey, he goes on, and we'll read about it and talk about it later. He says, you started to this, so let's finish it. Let me tell you about another church, what they did to encourage you guys to give. They didn't wait. As I mentioned, they didn't wait and said, sorry, Paul, we'd love to help you right now. We just can't. Their heart says, Lord, oh, let us, Paul, please. Let us participate. Lord, let us have that heart. We want to participate in the kingdom of God, in the growing, in and understanding, giving and receiving in a godly way. Are you with me? Amen? You know, being a giver during difficult times or a difficult season of life can be the most powerful spiritual thing one can do. That increase in your account. Sometimes when we're going through struggles or whatever, we inwardly, because of the struggle. But if we can turn that out and say, God, I'm going to give. With finances, our time. God sees it. It brings healing to the soul. Sowing and reaping brings healing to the soul. It brings strength to the individual. And God blesses, can I say, God blesses your finances. I know without a doubt he does, and it's godly, and that's what he wants to do for you to continue to be a giver, because I just read it. Amen. He increases our account many ways. 7, it supplies the kingdom of God and is pleasing to God. 7:8 and verse 18. Philippians 4 says, but I have received everything. This is what Paul's finishing up this little section of scriptures I have. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. See, Paul was in need, and it didn't just fall out of the sky. It was through people. He says, I'm amply supplied because of you guys. He said, no other church shared in this, but Jesus, I'm amply supplied to do what God's called me to do. He says, I'm talking about this because I want you to understand what God wants to do in giving and receiving. I'm mentioning this so you will understand that God sees that it's a sweet aroma before the throne room. God sees your heart of giving. I'm telling you, God sees when we give. God sees when we do things for the kingdom of God. We do it because His Spirit lives in us. We're not doing it to get His pleasing or to get His favor. But when God sees that, it's a sweet aroma. He says, oh, those are my children. They understand my heart. They can see I'm such a giving God. They're understanding now what this giving and receiving means. Amen. Acceptable sacrifice, a fragrant aroma. That aroma came off of what the sacrifice is. They would burn the fat, and it was an aroma, God's wrath against sin at that point, until Jesus, the final aroma, sacrifice for our sins, amen. And now our spiritual sacrifices amongst them is giving monies. Giving of the time and the things that God has placed in our lives for His kingdom, for other people. That's what pleases God now. Amen? Not to get His favor, but because we already have His favor. Lord, what can I do? May I say it one more time. You cannot outgive God. May God supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. As the worship team comes up, you know, when we give, our natural mind looks at giving as a deficit, looks at it as a negative. It looks at it as, where's my account now? But God doesn't look at that at all. That little widow, gosh, the last. And then she wasn't part of her savings. It had everything she had to live off of. And Elijah saying, hey, make me a little cake. Oh, by the way, she's going away. By the way, I know that water, give me some food too, would you? Teaching that principle. I want to have that heart. How about you? I'm determined to have that type of heart. I'm determined to say, Lord, I'm going to be a giver. If you're married, you know that you have to have a heart of being a giver, or it doesn't work. Amen? And as you give, you receive back that giving, what you sow unto your mate, you get back. What you're giving, as we sow of our monies and our time in the kingdom of God, I'm telling you, there's a response from the kingdom. God gives back. When I come back, I'm going to be going to a pastor's conference next week. Would you pray that God will put a deposit in me that I can give to you? That I can give to you? It's not just so... I'm not going to go in there just so I can come back and as Pastor Lee says, to give you three points in a poem, right? That whatever's deposited in me, I can give. That God will bring a time of refreshing and understanding. As I was listening to a message from a pastor who was talking about this giving, I said, Lord, I used to have that type of heart looking to give. Got distracted. I'm doing good things, right? I'm preaching. I'm trying to help people. But the Lord just in His gentleness reminded me, God, I called you to be a giver. Don't forget that you can't outgive me. I taught a class in our Bible school. It was on financial stewardship. And I remember the last session I taught about sowing and reaping and tithing and giving. And the last class that I taught, the Lord, just as I was speaking, it just dropped in my heart saying, this is because I love people. I love people. I supplied Paul's needs through people. He loves people so much that when we're giving into the church or different ministries, whatever, it all comes down to His heart for people. And as we're giver, He gives to us to have a consistent heart of giving and giving and giving and giving. And the Lord continues to bless us. And we give. And it's all about Amen. at the people. How he loves you and I. Do you love him today? Can you stand up with me? So maybe during this, it's between you and the Lord, amen? I'm not the one to determine as far as you being a giver. And I want to say, like Paul said, hey, look, I'm saying this not on my account, but for your account. And people that are cynical or got ought because of past things, they say, sure you are, Paul. I don't believe your motive, Paul. This morning, know my motive, would you please? My motive is for that. That God would increase your account. That God would bless your account. Father, we thank you. If you want to, just as we say, Lord, I want to be a giver, whatever that looks like. If you want, just say, Lord, thank you. Jesus, thank you for making me a giver. Jesus, thank you for making me what you want me to be. Lord, thank you for setting me free. Father God, if I've got any ought in my heart, any resentment in my heart about messages or things I've seen in the past that made me cynical and it stopped me from being a giver, Lord, I pray right now that you would remove that from my heart. My heart would be clean in that area so I can be a giver again without any pretenses, without any past things getting in the way. Lord, saying, Lord, show me about being a giver. In Jesus' name I pray. I declare that over your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. We've had many people do that. So anything COVID-related, I just rebuke it in Jesus' name. Healing, Father, in Jesus' name. Heard a miracle this morning about people healing, so I understand that right now, but we declare wholeness and healing right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. We drive out this sickness in Jesus' name. John? John will give his heart to you, Lord. No more games, Lord, that he will give his heart to you once and for all. We thank you for your love for John. We pray that you'd waken him up, Father God, once and for all, for your love for him in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for divine healing. But more on that, Lord, that John would understand your love for him, Father God, to do exactly what you've called John, Lord, that he would see that the gifts and the calling upon his life in Jesus' name. And that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. So this goes much more deeper than a sickness, but his life being committed to Jesus Christ. Jesus, and we declare Jesus, that over John right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Your goodness. Yes. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads a man or a woman to repentance. We thank you for your kindness upon John. We thank you, Lord, that he is healthy and healed in Jesus' name. That your Father, your heart would be shown to him, Father God, as you draw John unto you, Father God. We thank you for John's soul. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. We declare healing, Father. We thank you right now that nothing, the fear that we have in society today of COVID or flus or sicknesses, whatever, Father, we thank you for your divine healing in our lives in Jesus' name. The government can't bring me healing. The government can't bring me success. It's through Jesus Christ, Father God. We thank you for that. He is my healer.
Amen, yes.
He is my rewarder. He is my God. He is my salvation. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ assures that in Jesus' name. He is my provision in Jesus' name. Everything I need is found in him. Monies. By the wholeness of heart and healing in Jesus' name. My soul realm being whole and healed and delivered is found in the Spirit of God. And we declare that over your people today. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for whole people walking in your joy and your strength, healing in marriages in the name of Jesus. Your people being blessed financially. I declare it in Jesus' name as we understand sowing and reaping, Father God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for blessing your children. Father, we thank you for that today. You love them today.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Father. Give you a hand. Father, we glorify you this morning. Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor and the praise. Lord, our lives belong to you, Father God. Lord, our lives belong to you. As we sing here, if we could just worship him and just whatever the Lord speaks to your heart for this week, what he's doing in your lives, as he challenges you, amen? Hey, he can challenge us because his spirit lives in us. What is it that we can't possibly do if he lives in us? David says, I can climb any wall. He says, the power of God that's in me, I don't care that wall. I'll climb that thing right now. Did you see me take down Goliath, he said, with the Spirit of God? There's no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. Nothing shall keep me down. Nothing can keep me from being free in him. Because whom the Son set free is free indeed. I said, who the Son set free is free indeed. Father, we thank you for your freedom today. By your Spirit, Father, freeing people, Father God. By your goodness, freeing people. Father, by your, you shall know the truth, just a bit of truth regarding finances or giving. You don't need anybody to lay hands on you. You just need to understand and activate your faith and start sowing into the kingdom. Father, we thank you for that today, how we love you. Thank you for your freedom. As we worship, if you're free to go, but we're going to sing the song and worship him. If you need prayer, feel free to come up to receive prayer this morning. Amen. We'd love to pray with you. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you for being with us this week. You love him? Amen and amen. Go in God's power. Yes.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And great are you, Lord. So you give life. You give life.
Shout your praise, our hearts will cry.
worship you.